with everybody working from home, you actually get almost a deeper insight into some people's lives because we're actually in their living rooms, in their spaces, and they're able to share with us maybe a bit more of themselves than they might usually bring to work.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. My name is Patrick Kronoyer, and this is a series of conversations that we have had with many people in organizations to help us understand how COVID-19 has impacted the world of work. In the last episode, we tackled the challenges from the employee perspective, and today we're going to focus on management-specific challenges. The definition we'll use for a manager is somebody that leads a team within an organization. There are a number of new challenges that have been presented to managers over the past few weeks, from the lack of ability to read somebody's body language to just being able to walk up to their desk and check in. We're going to speak with two managers here at Peakon that are now leading their teams 100% remotely, and we're also going to speak with an HR leader from a primarily remote organization. First, we're going to speak with Joy, and Joy leads a global customer success team who are responsible for the relationships with hundreds of our customers. How has your life, your work life, changed over the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's definitely changed. It's quite an interesting thing, working from home all the time. So I think one of the problems that I've had to deal with is actually, where can I work? I'm currently living in a house that has got a lot of children in it. And so just finding a space where I can be alone and quiet has been tricky. For one day, that seems to be easy, but actually doing that for successive days in a row, just more complicated. So I think actually finding a place where it's appropriate and quiet enough for you to work and get on with the things that you need to do has been a challenge. I think that the other thing that I've missed is actually that time of being alone on my commute. I don't think I realized really how important that was to me, that I just actually didn't have anyone to talk to or anyone interrupting me or. And now there are just so many people around that I can talk to and almost expect to be talked to. So I'm really trying to grapple with actually how to still find that time just to be inside my own head and prepare myself for the day. So I think that's one of the challenges that I've been facing in the last couple of weeks. My day also, I suppose, has dramatically shifted in that everything now is online. At the moment, I feel that there has been like an increased urgency about things, and I've been involved in a lot of online meetings, and it's almost tiring after a while to always be on headphones and always looking at a screen. Somehow speaking to people in person just creates a different dynamic and feels a little bit different, and it creates, you know, a different situation. So it's not always virtual. So now everything's virtual, and I think that certainly my team has been outstandingly creative, so very used to working on virtual anyway. But now just seeing a whole new launch of creative ideas and thinking about how to make it fun to be online together. Because I guess that what you miss most from the office is those chats when you are getting some food or a coffee. It's more difficult to create those moments when you're working virtually all the time. So we've had some great lunchtime sessions with some fun activities. And yesterday in my team meeting, we had quite a fun moment where I asked everybody on the team to contribute what their greatest piece of wisdom was from the last 9 days in effective isolation. And it was really interesting to hear what people felt they were learning. And there were some great ideas put into the group. Someone said it felt like a virtual therapy session.
Could you tell us a little bit more about how you feel your team has adapted to this new world?
So I think that at the outset, one of the things that was implemented in customer success was a daily lunch meeting. So every day there's the possibility for anyone on our team to join a virtual lunch meeting. And the idea is that everybody brings their lunch and we just sit and chat. And it's been really fun. We've learned so much about one another. We've learned that some people can draw really well, that other people keep bonsai trees. We've learned about special tea making. So we're using that time virtually just to chat. What's quite nice about it is there's no compulsion to join, but a lot of people are joining every day just to have this chat and feeling okay to, you know, come in and out of the meeting, during that 45 minutes that we are together. So I think that's really worked well. We finished off last week with a virtual pub. And so everybody joined together and had their drinks and snacks. And we even did a virtual cheers. So that was, you know, fun. And again, just chatted. And this week we are having a pub quiz on Friday afternoon. So we're looking forward to that at the end of the day. For a while now, we've had very short, sharp training sessions where we cover a specific area that's important for customer success managers. And those have been going since the beginning of the year. But now we have increased the number of those. And so we're now running two a week. The first one starting today in a few hours, where one of the people on the team for 15 minutes is going to teach us something that they know completely outside of work. So today we'll be learning about bonsai trees and next week about how to make sourdough bread. So these are 15-minute power-up sessions where we are drawing on the vast skills beyond work of our team, and people are going to share something that they're good at. And there seems to be quite an appetite to do that. So I think that the sourdough bread one has got a number of people now who are going to be joining. So I think it's going to be exciting to see how that works.
That's great, Joy. Could you also tell us about how you've specifically changed your approach to meetings within your team?
So we have got quite an effective cadence of meetings already in place. So I already meet with the whole of the London team every week. And then I have meetings with the people who directly report to me every week. And every month I meet with every single person in the team. So that meeting cadence is just continuing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the conversations in them are, you know, maybe a little bit different and shifting, because I think that it's impossible at this point not to notice what's happening in the world around you and to actually allow that to be in the meeting. So certainly any of my big meetings, I am really starting with a check-in about where people are and how they're feeling, because I think it's really important for people to be able to voice where they are. And I know that we do that through the PECON survey as well, but just we're all humans on the call and just understanding where everyone is, because we are now in a situation where people have got different circumstances, people looking after children in their homes. And just for other people on the call to actually understand that not everybody is in exactly the same situation and to have that empathy for the very different situations that people find themselves in. I think it's really important to give people time to actually understand where everyone else is, and also just to be in touch with their own feelings, because I think that in times of uncertainty, it's really important that people can share how they feel. And I think we've got a very good relationship in our team, and I would like to keep that now. And it is more difficult when you're virtual, but I think by giving people opportunity to talk about how they're feeling and not shutting that down or saying it's not appropriate for a business meeting, I think that's important to me. So I think that's one of the changes that I notice. In some meetings, we would usually, you know, have just got down to business in some cases.
Yes.
But now we're just spending a bit more time actually just being with one another and making sure that we're allowing people to feel uncertain and it's okay. And we're all in different situations.
That's great. So Joy, you talked a little bit about implementing these new wisdom sessions and that in a way, they're a little bit of therapy for the team to be able to share their wisdom. Could you tell us a little bit more about how those have unfolded and maybe a specific example about one of them?
So in my team for a long time now, we've always had this idea of welcoming new people to the team by asking them some crazy question, you know, like if you were a Disney princess, who would you be, you know? And then everybody in the team has to answer that question. And it's really amusing. And it's, you know, it gets sort of a good vibe going to, you know, what's your favorite food? All kinds of questions. So people in the team are really used to these sort of going around the room, almost in a game kind of format, answering questions. And so we just changed that up a little bit to ask, you know, having been at home now for the last 9 days, what is the wisdom that you have learned? What have you actually got, you know, to offer the group in terms of your new insight into yourself and into the situation?
Yes.
And so we had a really interesting time actually hearing from different people, and people talked about things like tolerance and patience. And one of the things that really made me laugh was a team member who said that they decided that the only way to work things was to create a third person in the home. And that third person was to blame for anything that went wrong. So people just actually having these different ideas about how to make things work when you are in close proximity to people all the time is one thing. Another interesting thing that came out of this was also all the issues around food. And I think people just realizing for the first time this kind of uncertainty around food and people trying to make do with less and to use what they've got and to make it stretch further. It sounded almost like a war era sort of, you know, make do and mend kind of approach.
Yes.
So one of the people commented that this was almost like a group therapy session, but I think it was helpful and useful and a bit amusing to actually hear everybody's takeouts from the situation that they currently find themselves in.
What have you specifically learned about managing remote teams over the past couple of weeks?
I think what I've learned is that it's been great that I've had so much experience already of working with technology that allows you to not all be in the same room. So I think that there's a familiarity with the approach already. And I think that's put us in a very good position during this time of working from home. What I've learned is that it's really important to keep those connections with people and to really encourage people to keep their cameras on so that you can create that human connection between yourself and the people on the call. And I think interestingly, what I've also learned is that with everybody working from home, you actually get almost a deeper insight into some people's lives because we're actually in their living rooms, in their spaces, and they're able to share with us maybe a bit more of themselves than they might usually bring to work. So I think that we may emerge from this with some closer relationships and we're certainly learning things about people that we never knew because we were never exposed to them in that way.
Joy, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us and also for just encouraging all of us to share a little bit more with our teams as we work from home.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
Next, we're going to speak with Gabe, and Gabe is my colleague on the North American team. He works in the New York office, and I have a funny story to share with you. So we were getting all set up, and we noticed that we were having some challenges with the audio because Gabe's microphone was rubbing up against his sweater. So I asked Gabe if he would mind taking his sweater off, and he definitely shared more of himself as he was wearing a tank top. So let's get into the conversation with Gabe.
How has your team adapted to this new world, hopefully temporary new world that we're in, but how have they adapted as a team?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for everybody involved, all three of them, this is new. None of them have worked in remote jobs before, especially for the long term. So I think a lot of them, this is a new experience. So trying to understand and navigate the best way to do this. I think it was particularly challenging for one of them or two of them, because they're relatively new as well. They just joined in the past 4 months. So now, not only do they have to learn the product and learn our processes, but they're also remote in doing so. I think they've adapted well. We've created some new processes to make sure that we're all keeping in touch and staying aligned during this time, especially helping the new joiners.
What are some of those specific, you know, new things that you've brought into play with the team?
Yeah, so I connected with them and we do have our usual team meeting, but I felt that we typically have an hour long one-to-one, usually at some point during the week. So I asked them if they think it would felt it was a better idea that we actually split that one-to-one 30 minutes, 30 minutes, and then one, like let's say on a Tuesday and then another on a Friday. They all felt it was a great idea, but I felt like, you know, how do we stay aligned? Because a week of none of that one-to-one time is a while, right? Mm. So I think splitting up that one-to-one time has been really helpful. We've been doing that the past 2 weeks. So I think just more periodic check-ins is great. But I also think, as I mentioned, I think there's a lot of value when it comes to banter, you know, that in-office banter and then that relationship. Because I think during this time, people do feel lonely, right? And anxiety is quite high. So every week we typically have something in the office called Wine Thursday, CS Wine Thursday. I don't know if you know about this, Patrick.
Sounds familiar. Yeah, sounds familiar.
But we had CS Wine Thursday toward like 4 or 5 o'clock on Thursdays. We would just have some wine while we finish up and wrap up our day, but just, you know, get to know each other. And I think what's really important at this time is try to keep traditions alive. So we still have our CS Wine Thursday as well over video now. It's an e-CS Wine Thursday, but we've been utilizing different apps. There's a great app called House Party that's new that you have your video call. You can play different games. But I think just kind of keep that alive as well. So not only from a professional perspective that people still feel aligned to the business, but also that banter that I think is so, you realize when it's gone. You don't realize when you have it, when it's there. But I think just trying to keep that banter alive with the team.
Just a quick follow-up on, you know, being located in New York and having the headquarters of the organization being in Europe.
And even before the current situation that we're in now, there was 3,000 miles of distance between the half of the organization and your team and where you're located. Has that changed over the past couple of weeks for you, how you connect with the other members of the team?
I would say it is definitely increased. I think this is so new for everybody. And yeah, you're absolutely right. I think even before all this, a big challenge was staying aligned to the global teams, as our customer success team is more so in bulk, a majority in the UK. So staying aligned to them before this was already challenging, and I think has been magnified during all of this. But the leadership, the CS leadership, has done a great job in trying to keep that alive. I mentioned the banter that I talked about and keep making that's there. So we now have daily remote breakfast/lunch because of the time difference. So it's just sort of a drop-in session where anyone in the CS team can just drop into this Zoom room, this e-web conference room, and just talk about their days, right? As they're pouring coffee, eating lunch. They also have a really great initiative. There are two initiatives I think are very exciting. One of our values at Picana, as you obviously know, is serious, not serious. So now, once a week, we have a serious topic of discussion. They're called power-ups, where they talk about something related to the product or customer success from a process perspective. And then we have a not serious power-up, which is when people just talk about things they love and they're passionate about. For example, a member of the CS team, Joe, is talking about bonsai trees. I was not aware that he was in love with bonsai trees. But today, he will be talking about bonsai trees. I can't wait.
We heard that earlier from Joy, so that's great.
And you know what's odd is a pro that I find during these challenging times is I think we're all going to come out of it much closer than we were in the office, right? Getting to know each other on a much more human, personal level. As I'm seeing when I talk to clients, I'm working with clients now, and because everyone's in the same situation, you see their kids in their background, they're taking calls, holding their kids and their pets. You know, these are CPOs who are usually quite serious and strict, and now they're sitting there with their kids talking about their day-to-day lives with you. And the same is true with employees. You know, you really get an inside look of your colleagues that you typically wouldn't see.
Great. Okay, so as we wrap up, just a couple of additional questions. First is, prior to being in the situation that we're in now, where now you're managing a remote team, do you have experience with managing remote teams in the past before the current situation?
Yeah, so it was never like this. It was never fully remote in this sense. And maybe 4 or 5 years ago, when I was working at Equinox, I was a sales manager for them. So I managed about 3 locations, and each location had about 5 salespeople. And I would spend most of my time at one location that would change per week. So I was managing the sales team relatively remote because I could only be at one location at once. And that was not as, I would say, different as the situation, because I would still see them, right? I could see them every once in a while, and it would just rotate. So this is a bit unique for me in the sense where the team is fully remote and I'm also remote.
So in the past 2 weeks of being a remote manager, what would you say one or two key learnings that you've had about managing a remote team?
I would say the past 2 weeks, what do I learn in this new experience as I manage a remote team? I would say the top 3 things that I think I've learned that'll be very valuable for me as I move forward is, one, the importance of the effect of people's personal lives in their day-to-day work. I think, as you work together with teams, you don't think about what's going on in their home because you're in this bubble of a work office. Now that work is kind of molded into their personal life, you really see the things that really affect them, how their dog is sometimes sick and they have to take care for their dog and take them to the vet, and it stresses people out and it's hard for them to focus on certain things, or their family lives with them. So I think the effect that people's personal lives have on their work has really been apparent for me during this time. 2, I would say the biggest piece is in relation to onboarding. I think it's very clear, and I think you take for granted when you're together, that the learning that happens through osmosis. So I think having been very intentional about the learning moments that you give to your team members is going to be very important, and something that should carry on even as this ends, as we go back in the office, being more intentional with those learning moments and maybe not relying on learning by osmosis as much. And then 3, I would just say the importance of that banter, right? That fun that you have sitting together in the office drinking wine is valuable, helps people feel connected as a team. And then retaining and keeping those things are very important.
Perfect, Gabe. Thank you for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much. This is great.
My next conversation is with Jessica Marucci. Jessica is the head of People and Places at Catalyst Software. Prior to working at Catalyst, Jessica has some great experience with DigitalOcean, an organization that had a primarily remote workforce.
To think a little bit about managers and managing a remote team, how did you approach empowering managers to make stronger team connections, you know, with a remote workforce? I'm sure there probably were managers that had a full remote workforce. How did they go about having team meetings or connecting their group or building their internal team culture as part of the larger DigitalOcean culture?
I think something that's super important is creating, kind of going back to the technology, the baseline of keeping your camera on. So when people are having meetings, when they are communicating, they're seeing the cues in the conversation, making sure people are engaged, creating that it seems like eye contact, but it, like, what would be eye contact in person is eye contact on a video, just knowing that people are engaged in your conversation and they are present and not looking at 500 different other screens while they're talking to you, because they wouldn't do that in person. I think that's a critical piece to making sure that you have that connection. And communication over communication. If you think that you communicated something too much, you probably didn't, and there's probably another method for you to share it. Don't rely on Slack entirely. Getting things, especially an entirely remote team, things will get buried in Slack, so you cannot make decisions within Slack, especially in an area where you have multiple time zones. So not everyone is going to be on 9 to 5 Eastern. And that means when they come on and a decision was, or when San Francisco joins and a decision was made at 9 a.m. Eastern, they would have to scroll for hours just to get to where that decision was made and what happened with that. So making sure that you are putting together a framework for the team to establish the norm. So where are decisions getting made? What is getting documented? Are you putting it in Google Drive? At Catalyst, we're doing a really good job of putting everything in Notion. So making sure that there is an area that people can refer back to understand what their North Star is, what they need to be working on, what the number one priority is over time zone to time zone. Using email is critical too, and just finalizing something that did happen or something that will happen, making sure you extend that over communication. I've never gotten told that I've been annoying for over communicating as a manager. It's more like, okay, got it. And if you didn't get it the first time via Slack, you got it the second time via an email, or the third time during our stand up and our meeting. Just to reiterate that it's not going to be something I could turn my chair around and say to you or ask you an update on. It's going to be something that I can point to and ask about later on.
Jessica, if you could give one piece of specific advice to a manager who is now managing a remote workforce, what would that be?
I think it would be to set expectations and make sure the expectations are clear. Just because you're no longer seeing that person face to face, you can't assume that they know what they should be working on daily, what should be taking up all of their time, what you're expecting the outcome to be. So there is a lot more, there's a lot of different scenarios when you're in person and they can ask you a question as they're going along. Set the expectations for what your communication style would be like and when you expect the outcome to happen. There's definitely going to be a lot of cases of burnout after this and people not knowing when to stop working or working too much or not drawing the line, especially in scenarios where people don't have kids, so they don't have a schedule dictated by a little human. They're just going to keep working and they don't know what is expected of them or if they're doing enough. So that might mean, especially for early managers who are doing this for the first time, it might feel like micromanaging to be like, I need this project done by Wednesday, or this project, I'm expecting that this is done by next Monday. Like, don't kill yourself. You have time to do it. Setting those expectations to not make people feel like they're either doing too much work or not enough work, I think will be critical for success. And making the employee feel like they know what they can achieve, what they're supposed to accomplish, and they could create whatever time is going to work for them to do that.
That's great. I 100% agree with you. I think if anything right now, employees are needing more clear expectations. Jessica, what is one thing that you've learned about communicating during these times?
Tone isn't translated the best through Slack, especially when it comes to shifts in expectations, shifts in priorities, shifts in how people are working. So I recognize that myself as I'm working with someone on my team recently where I'm like giving them a new project and I'm like, you know what? Can you jump on Zoom real quick just so I could talk this out with you and have this as a conversation versus it seeming like I'm dictating what you're going to work on right now or what is the priority. And in a 5-minute Zoom conversation, it's much more understood for what is needed versus a manager telling someone what to do via text and they're reading it however they want to read it. Yes. And that's going to be based on whatever they're experiencing in their environment at that moment. So if they have a screaming kid that they just finished yelling at, and now they're sitting on the computer and their manager is telling them something to do, they are going to be pissed reading that in a very pissed tone. Meanwhile, the manager has no idea what just happened with their child, but rather is telling them something that they might need or a shift in how they're operating. And it would just be oodles better if they had it in a conversation versus a text format.
All right. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed being here.
In our next and final episode, we'll speak with two CEOs from very different businesses. We'll get their perspectives on how COVID-19 has impacted their business and their viewpoint on the future. Thank you.